This installment of the Kunstercast is sponsored by New Society Publishers, the leading publisher of peak oil thinkers. Titles include Reinventing Collapse by Dmitry Orlov, Blackout by Richard Heinberg, and A Nation of Farmers by Sharon Aztek. New Society Publishers is an industry leader in sustainable publishing focused on hard-to-find analysis and practical tools to change the world. Learn more online at www.newsociety.com. That's newsociety.com. Hey everyone, it's Duncan Crary again. You're listening to the Kunstlercast, a weekly conversation between James Howard Kunstler and me on a variety of topics, all under the theme of the tragic comedy of suburban sprawl. Jim is, of course, the author of The Geography of Nowhere, The Long Emergency, and World Made by Hand. On today's show, we're going to be talking about painting your roof white to offset global warming and heating costs, and also green roofs. Well, Jim, the leaves are starting to turn colors here in the Northeast.
Yeah, and it seems to be happening kind of quickly, too. I'm really surprised. It may be, I've heard kind of intimations that we're going to have a much colder winter than usual. Some of it is El Nino associated, and some of it is sunspot stuff.
Well, that's what the Farmer's Almanac is reporting.
Yeah, and I've been reading in the paper recently that there's like no sunspot activity at all, which means that the sun is sort of a little bit cooler than usual.
All of my friends are upset that summer's over, but this is my time here.
Fall. I agree. I love this season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I get too hot and uncomfortable. All right, well, enough of the talk of the weather here. We have a question that does have to do a little bit with the climate and the temperature, though. So,
Hello, James and Duncan. My name is Walter Spicer. I'm from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Online, I'm known as Energy Blog Walter. Recently, your Energy Secretary, Stephen Chu, was mentioning that if we painted rooftops white, we could save 15% of our energy costs. And I was wondering what you thought about it. And I was wondering, would designers freak, or even would you do it yourself? Cheers, and take care.
I've thought about this white roof, painting your rooftop white. What have you thought about this?
I certainly haven't thought about doing it myself, partly because I don't even own a house. I'm renting a house at the moment. This strikes me as the kind of econometric, statistical foolishness that you get from hyper-specialists. And Stephen Chu, the energy secretary, is a physicist. And you can look at the different parts of this and say, yeah, there's such a thing as the albedo effect, which means that the Earth's ability to reflect or absorb sunlight based on how dark or how light a surface is. And, you know, that's the reason, by the way, that it's a good thing to have the ice caps there because they reflect a lot of heat that otherwise would accelerate global warming. Theoretically, but this whole idea about painting rooftops—I don't think it has a chance in hell based on economic reality. It's one of those sort of tragedy of the commons things where, yeah, you've got—I don't know—50 million rooftops in America, let's say, and most of them, in one way or another, are dark. But is each individual going to go out and spend $4,000? Painting his roof, you know, for the greater good of reflecting a little bit of light for, you know, with a result that we don't know, really. And I think, like, forget about it. It just ain't going to happen. But this does kind of redound to the larger issue of what America is doing in wanting to, quote, go green or wanting to confront the possible dangers of climate change and just all the scary unknowns that seem to be bearing down on us and what our response is going to be. And, you know, the kind way to view it would be to say that we're trying to look at everything that's possible to do and to find some coherent way to deploy the technology that we understand and be responsible people. You know, the unkind way to view it would be to look at the situation out there and to see that America is pretty much just blowing a lot of green smoke up its ass. And I say that because of the nature of the society that we've developed, that public relations and positive thinking and having a green shoots psychology has become so embedded in our daily life. And so we start to get confused that having good intentions and doing things are the same. We think that if we just mean to do the right thing, that that's the same as getting stuff done. I think as a result of that, a lot of the things that we yak about and blather about end up being very unrealistic, and we become bogged down in fantasies.
So, Jim, let's take apart this white roof idea. First of all, let me ask you, I mean, a lot of our rooftops are black because they have tar on them, right? That's why we've chosen to have the color black.
Well, they're made out of asphalt shingles or, cedar shakes or the flat roofs are made out of they have these rubberoid or tar surfaces or...
Yeah, that's what the top of a Walmart has like black tar paper or something on it, right?
They use this kind of composite rubber, asphalt, synthetic material on the flat roofs of the Walmarts and all the strip malls out there. And sometimes they put this white gravel stuff on it, which I think is really meant to protect the roof from ultraviolet light and to keep it from, breaking up and too early and to give it a slightly longer life.
So theoretically, the black rooftop absorbs light and retains heat, whereas theoretically a white roof would reflect the light and the heat theoretically. What I was wondering is, here in the Northeast, we have black rooftops, but we get a lot of snow. And doesn't the black roof help absorb heat to melt the snow off our rooftops?
Well, the whole thing gets ridiculously problematical because what we're talking about now are flat roofs. And there are many, many arguments for flat roofs not being a good idea in building generally, especially in a climate with a lot of snow where water collects on the roof. I mean, it's just insane.
However, the flat roof, like, it does eventually get an accumulation of snow, which would therefore then bounce the light off of it. I don't know. Anyway, you're never going to get, I don't think, suburbanites to paint their roofs white because that you can see their rooftop, right?
Well, the fact that you can see a pitched roof, I think, doesn't alter the fact that dark surfaces do absorb light. But it just seems insane to me to think that at a time when most people are having trouble paying for their mortgage, that they're going to, spend the equivalent of two mortgage payments painting their roof white. I just forget about it. I mean, it's like some kind of a knuckleheaded civil defense plan that just ain't going
to
happen.
It doesn't seem insane to me if we're going to work. I mean, it seems insane to me to live in a world that's threatened by global warming and not do anything about it. I mean, I know what you're saying. It would be insane to the average Joe. Mm-hmm. He wants to buy a jet ski and a Sony PlayStation. And
no, but the thing is, it has to be politically possible to do this. You know, it's one thing to come up with a notion. It's another thing to make it happen politically. And I just think that politically, it's just forget about it. No way.
Well, and you've also said before, these things don't have to be handed down by politicians or legislators. They have to come from a cultural consensus and people have to want to.
Well, in this case, it would take a genuine mania. I mean, it would have to be like the equivalent of ergot poisoning or something, where people were really going crazy. So, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm against mitigating a problem, but in my opinion, this is never going to happen, and we should just move on to some other ideas. And there are plenty of other ideas floating around out there for how we're going to contend with the changes that we face. And, a lot of them have to do with how we design and use our urban habitats.
Along those lines, I wanted to ask you about green rooftops, just to stick with the rooftop theme here. Now, a green rooftop would be you plant vegetation on the roof, and possibly even a garden on the roof of your building. What are your thoughts on these? I've seen some of them. They look pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, in this case, I think you'd be mainly talking about retrofitting existing flat roofs on, urban buildings and apartment buildings and so on. Sure, you can do it. But there are some things going on there that people may not be thinking about. One is that you better have a really structurally sound roof to do that before you start putting 4 feet of topsoil on top with and watering it, you know, on a regular basis. Because that's a real invitation to just structurally destroy the building and you know, shorten the life of the building. And I don't think there are that many roofs out there that are probably suited for that. It remains to be seen. There are other things you can do. Of course, you can do container gardening, which may be a good idea because then the water doesn't actually, you know, get into the roof material.
Yeah, and I've been poking around on the roof of my building. It's a brownstone. It's a townhouse, and it has a pitched roof. Yeah. From the street, the building looks like it has a flat roof, but when you're actually on the thing, it slants down to the back. So I've thought about this too. You know, it probably couldn't sustain the weight of soil and anything substantial, but you could definitely put some planters up there,
sure,
grow some food, and that would actually seem to be a more productive way to accomplish what this white roof initiative is trying to get at, don't you think?
Well, I think people are going to be doing it anyway. I'm not convinced that the numbers of people doing it will be that huge or that it will make that much difference. And I'm not convinced that we can grow that much food on our rooftops. I think you're mainly talking about salad and tomatoes, maybe. But, you know, I mean, you're not going to grow cereal grains or staples like that. You know, where I depart from a lot of the urban gardening people is that the way I think things will really sort themselves out is that we will be growing more stuff in the place where it ought to be grown, namely on the hinterlands of the towns and cities. That is, you know, around them, in the places that ought to be the supporting agricultural lands adjacent to the places where the people live. I don't have any problem with people growing vegetables on their rooftops or backyard gardens. And indeed, I imagine that in an earlier period of history, there was a lot more of that. You know, you go back to early Manhattan during the Dutch period when it was composed mostly of small houses with dooryards. You know, all those dooryards were gardens. So, you know, there's a different disposition of these things from age to age of history. And we will see one. But a lot of the assumptions going into the thinking around this right now seem to be that our cities will continue to be the same size and scale that they are now, and that they'll continue to operate pretty much as they've been operating with their infrastructure and everything. And that's a big assumption that I don't buy. You know, I think we'll have a huge amount of trouble with the infrastructure, with, you know, our water systems in most American municipalities are 100 years old. We're going to have a lot of trouble with aging buildings that we can't necessarily renovate, especially anything over 7-8 stories. And we're going to be involved, I think, in a pretty general contraction of everything, including economic activity and population. So it has seemed to me throughout the course of this debate that it's really about how we're going to retrofit the lands outside the cities for agriculture and not really so much about urban gardening. And, you know, I see a lot of cockamamie schemes for multi-level, you know, high-rise urban gardens composed of floor after floor of different kind of, you know, some kind of garden setup. And I'm thinking, you know, anybody who thinks that we're going to be affluent enough to do that, that we're going to be a rich enough society to execute these kind of, you know, science fiction schemes for growing stuff, they're nuts, I think. The action's going to be in the places that always have been agricultural places outside the towns and cities that have existed for a while. And the question really is how we're going to retrofit those places or how we're going to mitigate the suburban crap that has been imposed upon a lot of them.
Yeah, it's difficult to weigh in on this. I feel it's difficult to weigh in this because I don't like the idea that if we all just painted our rooftops white, then we could keep driving our cars and keep living this lifestyle that I don't approve of. Okay, so that I'm not
cool. And by the way, there are a lot of schemes out there that operate similarly in the sense of if we could only do this, like if we could only electrify the car system or the vehicle fleet, right, then we could keep on doing everything the same way.
Right, and I'm not down with that. And, you know, there's a more obvious way to cut down on global warming, which is stop driving your goddamn cars everywhere. Stop building this automobile.
Well, yeah, or to put your efforts into walkable neighborhoods and everything that's necessary to support that.
Right. So that's one aspect of it I don't like. However, personally, if it were determined that painting a rooftop white would help offset some of our problems, I would at least like to think that the wealthier people who could afford to do it would be willing to do it. I would like to think that maybe we could regulate some rules that in the future, when you build a roof, you know, you build it with this material that's white instead of black. And I would like to think that we could encourage, quote unquote, green rooftops, you know, where possible and beneficial.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Duncan, is that if we find that we're actually, that climate change is actually taking us in another direction and taking us into an ice age.
Right, then.
You know, you're going to have everybody going out there and painting the rooftop black again. Because, you know, and I'm not a climatologist, and I'm not, I'm certainly not an anti-climate change activist or agitator, but you know, there's some reason to, you know, there's plenty of opinion out there that that it could go either way, you know, global warming or another ice age.
Well, or my basic understanding of it is that climate change includes just extreme weather,
right,
on all the different, you know, it's going to be colder in places where it used to be warm. It's going to be rainier here. There's going to be a drought here. So I guess you're right.
Well, I don't know.
But either way, I would like to live in a world where if this really were a good thing, I would like to think that people would at least, you know, do it if they could afford it.
Well, and I'd like to live in a world where Jennifer Aniston came over to my house every day with a check for $4,000. But I don't know if that's going to happen either.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jim, thanks for talking to me about the rooftop issue. And listeners, I'm sorry. I was more tongue-tied than usual this time.
Well, and I have to go out and get all this equipment and go out and paint my roof white now, so.
Well, after I heard this comment, I was even thinking, geez, you know, maybe I should just grab a bucket of paint and paint my landlord's roof white, but I don't know if they would be too happy with that. Anyway, okay, I'll see you soon, Jim.
Bye-bye, Duncan.
Well, that's it for today's show. It's a kind of a short one, like the old days back when our programs used to be exactly 15 minutes long. I just wanted to remind listeners that Plan Edison is offering a discount to KunstlerCast listeners for their 2-DVD set, The Story of Sprawl. You'll get $5 off the purchase price. This is a great compilation of historic films about urban planning and suburban sprawl, featuring commentaries by notable thinkers such as James Howard Kunstler and Andres Duany and Elizabeth Platter Zeiberg. So I put a link on the website, but to purchase that DVD, you go to planetizen.com/DVD. That's planetizen.com. And the discount code, as you're checking out at the very end, you type in the word Fiesta, and you'll get a $5 discount. And the KunstlerCast will receive a referral fee. You've been listening to the KunstlerCast featuring James Howard Kunstler. To leave a listener comment, call toll-free at 866-924-9499. Send email to letters@kunstlercast.com. You can listen to all of our past programs, join our email list, find out how to book Jim to speak in your area, and talk about the show with other listeners at kunstlercast.com. I'm your host, Duncan Crary. Thanks for listening.